Kids, you should have a worksheet with you. For slightly older kids, there's some questions to follow along with the sermon. There's also a little picture on the back to color in with. But kids, I would also like your help in answering a couple of questions throughout the sermon. Grown-ups, you're allowed to help, but we'll take some answers from the kids first, if they have them. Could anybody name me a good team? It doesn't have to be a sports team. It could be any sort of team. But can anybody shout out a good team? Scotland. Okay. Yeah. Maybe I didn't say the question quite right. Could anybody name me a good team? New Zealand. Ireland. Wow, yes. We've got the right answer straight away. Ireland are a good team. There are many good teams around. Good teams in sports. Good teams as a sort of a team of spies in a movie or something like that. There are loads of good teams. And I want to say that there are three things that make a good team. And they all begin with M, handily enough. The first is that a good team needs a good manager. A good team needs a mission. And a good team needs members of the team. The passage we're going to look at in John 21, so please turn there in your Bible. In here we see that Jesus Christ, who presents himself as the good shepherd here, is that manager. We see the mission that Jesus has for him and for his disciples. That is to feed his sheep to the glory of God. And we'll see the members of the team. Peter, who betrayed Jesus. John, who Jesus loved. We'll see the three M's, the manager, the mission, and the members. It'll come up on the screen as well, but John 21, 15 to 25 is where we'll be at today. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who had been reclining at table close to him and had said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." So the saying spread abroad among the brothers that this disciple was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die. "But if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things and who has written these things. We know that his testimony is true. Now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. In this passage, I hope we will see Jesus as the good shepherd who has good plans. Now, the reason I call Jesus the good shepherd in this passage is because we see Jesus' primary concern seems to be for his sheep. That is the call that he gives to Peter, is to feed the lambs, to tend the sheep, and then to feed the sheep. Jesus' concern is his sheep. And earlier in John's gospel, Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. Jesus Christ in this passage is the good shepherd who first of all reaches out to the sinner. Now imagine yourself in Peter's shoes for a moment. Just weeks ago, you have denied Jesus. You have specifically told Jesus to his face that you will not deny him. But when the pressure comes on, you deny him not once nor twice, but three times. Now, Jesus has risen again, but it's not quite come up in conversation yet. Jesus hasn't mentioned it. And you can imagine Peter's fear that this is going to come up at some point. He's going to be in trouble. Like when the head teacher says over the tannoy, "Can somebody come to the office, please?" You know, when you arrive, there's going to be some trouble. Peter, you could imagine, would be incredibly worried. He has let down Jesus. And Jesus would have full right to have a go at Peter, to deny Peter just as Peter denied him, to cast Peter off from his presence. That would have been just and fair for Peter to be discarded. Yet this is not a good shepherd who seeks to lose a sheep, but a good shepherd that reaches out to the shepherd that is broken, the shepherd that is hurting, the sheep that is a sinner. Jesus' priority in this conversation is not to have a go at Peter, but to restore him. Jesus' concern is that the relationship between him and Peter has been broken. And so you'll see in Jesus' conversation, he does not say, "Well, have you gone and fixed what you've done? Have you gone and told all those people that you denied me to that actually you do belong to Jesus? Have you managed to undo all the wrong things that you have done?" No, his question to Peter is simply, "Do you love me?" The good shepherd's priority for Peter is Peter's heart, that he will return to the loving relationship he had, that he will be restored. Jesus is the good shepherd who reaches out to the sheep that has wandered. And then in verse 19, Jesus gives a bit of a call to Peter. He says, and after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Now, you may remember Jesus' original encounter with Peter. It's recorded for us in Luke 5, and it's incredibly similar to the story we have in John 21. In Luke 5, the disciples are struggling to catch any fish. Jesus gives them some specific instructions on how to catch fish, and they get a huge haul, so much that even the nets were breaking, Luke 5 tells us. Jesus then speaks to Peter, and Peter says words like this, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." Simon Peter was right. Of course, he was a sinful man. But Jesus' invitation to Peter was not for him to go away, but it was to follow me. "Follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men," Jesus tells him in Luke 5. And here again, Jesus' call to Peter has not changed. "Follow me," Jesus says. "Follow me" is an important phrase in picturing the position of the sheep and the shepherds. The sheep must follow the shepherds. The shepherd will not just follow the sheep because the sheep do not know where to go. The sheep are reliant on the shepherd that they follow to get to the green pastures, to receive the food that they need. The sheep must follow the shepherd. I have very limited farming experience. But as a kid, we helped out at my uncle's farm every now and again. One of the things was to move sheep. And what we would do is there would be somebody behind the sheep driving forwards. There'd be somebody in front of the sheep knowing where to go. But there'd also be people surrounding the sheep, blocking off the different exits that the sheep might like to take. The sheep didn't really know where they wanted to go. But they would be guided every step of the way as they would follow those who were caring for the sheep. Following Jesus, thankfully, is not just following one who is in front, but one who is all around, who is pushing us forward, who is guarding us from wrong paths that we would like to go down. So in Psalm 23, David says, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all their days." Jesus is the good shepherd who surrounds the sheep, who calls the sheep to follow him as he guides from in front, from beside, from behind. The sheep are surrounded by the good shepherds. And there's a danger that I think we need to be warned against. It's a danger that Jesus highlights in Matthew chapter 9, speaking to his disciples about the crowds. Matthew says, Jesus looked on them with compassion, for they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Could you imagine what would happen to sheep that have no shepherd to follow? They would surely starve quite quickly. They would get lost. They would get stuck in bushes. They would be on a path to destruction. We must have a shepherd. And yet we'll be so often be tempted to have a shepherd that is not the good shepherd. Just in our pockets on a phone, you have access to so many shepherds across the whole world who would love to shepherd you in one direction or another. Who would love to give you instructions on how to live your life. They would say, follow me. I'll give you happiness or success or joy or whatever it is you're looking for. Or we will search for those things in other things or other people. Or perhaps even in other religions. There'll be so many people competing to be our shepherds, and yet none of them will be the good shepherds. None of them will actually lead us to green pastures except Jesus. None of them will restore us except Jesus. There is one good shepherd. His name is Jesus, and he calls you to follow him. One thing that's so good about this shepherd is how exactly he reaches out to the sinner. And so he reached out to Peter in conversation. But he has primarily reached out to Peter and to all sinners, that is all of us, by laying down his life for the sheep. When Jesus says he is the good shepherd, he says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. For those sheep that were wandering, those sheep that rejected the shepherds, Jesus Christ goes to the cross, sacrifices himself for the sake of his sheep. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, reaching out to the sinner, calling us to follow him, going to the cross that we may do so. This good team needs a manager. That manager is Jesus, the good shepherd. This team also needs a mission. And I think Jesus' mission in this passage can be summarized like this: to feed sheep for the glory of God. Look at verses 15 through to 18. Jesus called to Peter, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. And then he looks at Peter's death that is going to come. And verse 19, John explains that. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. All that Jesus is telling Peter to do is for the sake of glorifying God. And all that Jesus is calling John to later in the passage is to glorify God. That is the purpose of us. We are to be people who glorify God. And that will work itself out in different ways. Jesus, as a good shepherd, is desperate for his sheep to be fed. If a shepherd does not feed their sheep, then the sheep will starve and die quickly. And so it is with the people of God. If we are not fed by this good shepherd, we will not be a sheep for very long. Jesus himself talks a little bit about this in John chapter 6, so I'll read a few verses from that. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. For a sheep to survive, they need to feast on Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ can call himself the bread of life because he is the one who is Lord of life, because he is the defeater of death. It is so obvious when we see that Jesus is risen that of course he can be the bread of life. Of course we can trust him, that he is the one who will give us eternal life, because he is the one, the only one, who has risen again. and so we must, and so Peter must, and Jesus is so determined that his sheep must feed on him. Let's call and pray that they would receive their daily bread. But then look at Peter's life. Now, Jesus told him how Peter was going to die. And there's a contrast here. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. If you eat me, you will not die. And yet Peter, who is delivering this bread of life, is going to die. Going to die a brutal death. And there's this conflict here. How can this be? Is Jesus simply wrong in saying, if you eat this, you will not die? No, Jesus is talking about something far greater. Yes, there will still be death in this world, and yes, that death will still hurt and bring pain. And yes, it will come to us. But the hope that Jesus offers is of a life that will never end, of a life that comes after death, of a perfect, beautiful life. No weeping or crying or mourning. In the presence of the Good Shepherd who will feed us and nourish us forever. The Shepherd who will welcome us in to that good life. Peter is to feed sheep to the glory of God, and he is to die to the glory of God. Now, God is glorified as he is reflected. And so, as we as people grow. By feasting on Jesus Christ, we will grow to look more and more like Jesus Christ. And as we do so, we will then reflect him more and more to the world. So as the world looks on us as Christians, looks on us as the church, they will see Jesus more and more. He will be glorified more and more. When it comes to Peter's death looked incredibly like the death of Jesus. This was at 64 AD. Peter is in Rome under the Emperor Nero. And Peter, like many other Christians, is killed. He is killed for his beliefs, for believing in Jesus, and for sharing about him. And the way he is killed is by crucifixion. Peter chose not to be crucified the normal way. He did not feel worthy. But he was crucified upside down. Now, no one looking at that picture would not immediately go and think of Jesus Christ. Peter in his life and most in his death glorified God as his death reflected him. All that Peter was to say and do in life and death was to glorify God. And so then to us, as sheep, what is our responsibility? Well, first, it is to get fed. Now, as a sheep, we need to eat. And so we need to be feasting on Jesus Christ. And we do that in many ways. Primarily, we do that through his word. As we come to church and hear God's word read and preached. As at home, we read it and pray over it. In small groups or with another, we need to be constantly being fed by Jesus Christ. There is so much in this world that would seek to feed us. So many of those bad shepherds who want to feed us what they have. That will lead us astray. And so we need to make sure that primarily we are getting fed by the word of God. Getting fed by this good shepherd, Jesus Christ. And second of all, just like Peter, we are to feed others. If you have been a Christian for really any length of time at all, you get a privilege and a responsibility and a call to encourage other Christians. That is to point other Christians back to the word of God, back to the food that they so desperately need to be nourished with. As Christians, we get fed, and then we feed others. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has a mission. It is to feed sheep for the glory of God. This good team, finally, has its team members. Look at the members that we have in our passage. We have Peter and we have John. I've already considered Peter a little bit. The one who denied Jesus three times. The one who so often through the Gospels does something pretty rash, something that he's probably not meant to do. Who, to be honest, lets Jesus down time after time. If you were to devise a team that wanted to go and achieve a plan, if you were to devise a football team to go and win the Champions League, You want the best of the best. The ones who you know you can rely on, the ones who are going to guarantee your success. But Jesus' team looks quite different. Who does he invite? He invites Peter, the one who let him down, the one who denied him 3 times. But then look at what Peter went on to do, to lead the church in Jerusalem and then to go to Rome, to be killed for his faith, crucified upside down, to write 2 of our books in the New Testament. Jesus restored Peter, invited him onto the team, and gave Peter a new purpose, to lead the church, for him to be the rock in which Jesus would build it. And look at John, from verses 20 to 25. John, at least in his own gospel, where, because he wrote it, he gets to paint himself in a good picture. John doesn't seem to do much wrong. John is described as the beloved apostle. If you're going to want anyone on your team, it's going to be John. This is the good guy. This is the guy who performs well all the time. And what did John go on to do? Well, John also went on to lead the church. When Paul was converted, Paul went and presented himself before Peter and John to be approved. John went on to spread the gospel around Asia Minor, and we think he died in Ephesus after spreading the gospel there. He outlived all the other disciples. He was the only one not to be martyred. He wrote 5 of our New Testament books. John went on to live a life for the glory of God. We see a contrast. Peter, who you would not think to want. John, who of course you would want. Both given the same invitation. Follow me. Live your life for the glory of God. And within that, within those brackets of Peter and John, we can find ourselves. We can find ourselves as we look back on what we have done and who we have been, and we look on with shame or sorrow. As we think, I could never be good enough to be used by God. I don't even know if God could still love me. If you've never considered him before. If God is completely new to you, you might think, well, I've never heard this before. How could God use me? No matter your story, as it currently is or as it was, Jesus Christ calls you. And he can use you, not because he's going to make you a superstar, but because he is so good, because he is the one who will carry you and sustain you. And when you are called by Jesus, you are given a new purpose. A purpose to go and live your life for the glory of God. You are all invited to join Jesus' team. To receive that new purpose, to live your life for his glory. Jesus is the good shepherd who has good plans. He is the good shepherd who reaches out to the lost sheep, who goes to the cross for the lost sheep, and who calls the lost sheep to follow him. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd who gives his sheep a mission to feed sheep for the glory of God, that all we live, all we do and say will be for his glory. And Jesus invites us, all of us, to join in on that, to become a member of his team, for Jesus Christ to be our good shepherd. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the good shepherd, that you are the good shepherd who loves the sheep, who went to the cross for the sheep, who will carry us, who we can follow. Lord, help us to reject all the other shepherds who would seek to have us follow them and to follow only you. Lord, would our whole lives be given for your glory, that all we ever do will be for you. And Lord, help us when we do not feel worthy to accept your invitation to join your team, to be restored, to tell you that we love you. Amen.